Good afternoon, everyone. I will call the Wednesday, January 15th meeting of the Senate Interim Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments to order. Members, we have an informational session first, and then we'll be doing our committee bill introductions for the February session, and this shouldn't take too long. So without further ado, I think I'll just start by inviting Gina Zedlick and Jim Williams from the Elections Division forward. And this is our new Director of Elections, so we're looking forward to meeting you and hearing from you, and then I think you have a presentation about some legislative concepts for February.
Good afternoon. My name is Gina Zedlick, Chief of Staff for Secretary of Kate Brown, and I'd like to introduce Jim Williams, our new Elections Director.
Hi.
Did you want to tell us a little about your background? Or?
I am a longtime elections junkie. I've been in elections. As a matter of fact, I just thought on the walk over here that today marks my 23rd anniversary year of being working in elections. I've worked originally from Oklahoma, if the accent made you wonder. I've worked at the state level and at the county level, and worked in the private sector and the public sector as well over the course of those. I've worked in elections in three different states. Very happy to be here in Oregon, and love everything about it so far.
Well, just wait. It'll even get better.
Great. Well, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here in Oregon.
Thank you.
All right. This is Gina Zedlick again. I'll start with, so it's LC-120, I think, that I'm talking about today. I just thought I'll run through it probably in more detail than you need, but at least then you kind of know what every section does. We are considering this a housekeeping bill for this session, and so I want to run through it to make sure that it is, and I'm often surprised. So I'm going to just go section by section in order of the LC. So Section 1 has to do, it's the statute that governs registration as a paid circulator. We have two changes in that section. The first one is, it's a long section, so you kind of have to flip through, and it adds a number of statutes for which, if you've had a civil penalty imposed for violation of any one of those statutes, you may not be a paid petition gatherer or signature gatherer. Very quickly, those statutes are sort of what we consider the most egregious of election law violations. They're knowingly making a false statement for gathering signature purposes. They are gathering unqualified signatures that they know to be unqualified, offering payment in exchange for a signature, using threats or intimidation for purposes of extorting money, circulating imitation ballots without adequate disclaimer that the ballot is not real, and knowingly making a false statement under oath or affidavit with regard to election laws, and finally paying per signature if you violate the constitutional provision. So currently, for some reason, we just had, if you had violated the registration section and the keeping of accounts, sort of two, it would be bad, but these seemed like really egregious ones that we don't want. If we know people have made these violations, that we would not want them to be paid signature gatherers. They could be volunteer gatherers. So that's what that does. The second change is a little bit later, and all it does is it looks at the background checks that they are required to have. It aligns the date that the background check is valid for the date that they are registered, so that it doesn't. So then, every 2 year period, they would renew their registration, and their background check would be valid for that entire period. So those are those two changes. Feel free to stop me if there's any questions along the way. Section 2. Last session, House Bill 3537 allowed a person to run for more than one district office at a time. This is just a conforming amendment that probably should have been a part of that bill. We still had a law on the books that required that only allowed clerks to print your name one time on a ballot. So this just says in the specific case of a district election, you can print the name twice. Section 3, this is looking at right now when ballots are challenged for either a mismatch in signature or if a ballot does not contain a signature, the person forgot to sign or did not sign. In that case, right now, the statute reads that in both cases, if the clerk will reach out to the voter, and if the voter does not cure the problem, they're added to an inactive voter list. And we want to separate out people who've just forgotten to sign their ballot. We think that their vote will not count, but they should not be added to an inactive voter registration list. If there is a mismatch in the signature, that's a different story. So we just want to make sure that that is clear. And also there was just a confusion within the section about when records could be public. One said on the eighth day, one said after the eighth day. So we just aligned that to make them the same. So it's entirely clear. And sections 4 and 5 are actually was brought to our attention from our county clerks. And I think their district elections were moved from March to May a while ago. And there's a few deadlines specifically regarding write-in candidates that the way it works now, a write-in candidate could actually accept the candidacy or the nomination after the election was certified. So we just had to move the deadlines around so that potential, if a write-in does receive enough votes, that they have time by which to respond before the election is certified. So that's what those two sections do. And then finally in Section 6, it's 266.95. The first issue is that we're deleting a provision that we affectionately call the Facebook issue. It obviously could apply to a lot of other situations, but the provision says that a person may not show their marked ballot to another person, and we have had a lot of, we call it the Facebook issue because people pretty innocently post their ballot and say, look, I voted, and they'll post a picture on it, and they've technically violated this statute, and so we're proposing just to delete that. Since people vote at home and in all sorts of private places, we don't really actually have a way to police this adequately anyway. So
just a clarification, yeah, so that they would make those folks that take a picture of their ballot and post it on Facebook, they wouldn't be breaking the law if we passed this bill.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Question, Manager.
Yes, go ahead.
But we would still enforce, Madam Chair, the prohibition against people using a marked ballot as a marketing tool or a template for others.
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, right now it simply deletes the line that says a person may not show the person's own marked ballot to another person to reveal how it was marked, which is sort of inherent in showing it to someone else.
Madam Chair, I can have the conversation with folks from the Elections Division
about
how the statute actually works. My concern would be that there is a concerted effort to circulate what a marked ballot ought to look like if you distributed by folks that have an agenda, like make your ballot look like this.
Like this, yeah.
So I'm not sure that that is even the objective of the current statute, but I need to know. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, we can definitely look into that. And then the very, very final piece of this bill is there's a section on electioneering, and this it's sort of a complicated statute, so we're making a simple fix to it, hoping to help out the Elections Division in the near future, although you may want to look at this and we may want to look at this in the future to see if there's a better way of doing this. But right now, electioneering is prohibited within any building designated for deposit of ballots or within 100 feet from any entrance of that, of such a building. And that's electioneering using a public address system. And it need not relate to the election at hand. So it's a very broad prohibition. It applies once ballots have been mailed out until election day. And so what we propose doing is, at this time, is simply limiting that prohibition to the hours in which the building is open to the public. Because right now I could go outside in a closed election office where no one is and stand with my public address system. And, you know, there's a lot of ways, and we get a lot of complaints in the elections division, that in which there's actually no harm done, kind of like that, where I might be preaching to the trees and there's no harm done. So we're thinking if there's during business hours when people are there, when people are turning in their ballots, this statute would still apply. And county clerks would use it, and we would use it and enforce it. But just trying to limit some of the broad application of this prohibition that is very broad.
Yes, Senator Starr.
It seems a relic of our polling place statute.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Starr, it is. I think it made a lot of sense probably back then as people were coming to vote. In most cases, people have already voted their ballots. Not in all cases, but most. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's basically a summary of the concept.
Yes.
And are there any other questions?
Yes. One question for Mr. Williams, newly designated elections director, Madam Chair. Has there been anyone who suggested the taking of a before picture? Your countenance will not be the same again.
Senator Barrioli, thank you for the warning. No one has suggested it. Maybe I should pursue that.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Yeah, I think you need to scratch the date on the back of your first ID card that you're issued, because it'll become an artifact. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, well, thank you both for appearing today, and Mr. Williams, welcome aboard, and we'll look forward to seeing more of you in the future.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nice to meet you.
You too. So, members, that was all we had for our informational presentation. There are three LCs, which is the number of LCs that we're entitled to introduce as committee bills. Our capable staff has prepared a summary for you, which I think is in front of you, that shows what each of those is. You just heard a pretty detailed explanation of one of them. LC 119 just takes one provision out of 120. It's essentially a placeholder bill. And then the last one, LC 146, is commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Oregon Supreme Court, or the first session of the court in its current building, which is turning 100 years old. My understanding is that there's going to be a lot of events going on February 14th around that. So I think our goal would be to try to hear that and then pass it on the same day that they are celebrating the 100th anniversary. So, okay. And Erin,
if you want to open a work session.
Yes. So I will open a work session for the purpose of introduction of legislative concepts.
Madam Chair.
Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move the following LCs be introduced as committee bills: LC 119 relating to elections, LC 120 relating to elections, LC 146 relating to celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Oregon State Supreme Court building.
Thank you. Senator Farioli moves that the following LCs be introduced as committee bills: LC 119 relating to elections, LC 120 relating to elections, and LC 146 celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Oregon Supreme Court building. Is there any discussion on his motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Farioli.
Relating to elections is a very interesting relating to clause. And Madam Chair, I would expect that there be some amendments that might be put forward relating to elections.
Indeed it is. Okay, thank you, Senator Farioli. Further discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. These LCs will be introduced as committee bills. And members, we now have our schedule for the February session. Our committee's time slot is going to be Tuesdays and Wednesdays from
8 to 10.
So we may make that 8:30 if we don't have a need to come in quite that early.
Great idea.
We will have
it's almost as good as 9.
right. And we will have one batch of executive appointments that
8 o'clock
should
every day.
Probably be handled in committee the second week of February. So other than that, we'll see what comes our way. Okay, so that's all I had for today. So enjoy the rest of our time slot, and we will look forward to seeing you in February. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, members. We're adjourned.